Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. This week on Franchise Today, my guest is Ben Letalian, a 20-year veteran of franchising, adjunct professor at Georgetown University and the University of Maryland, and franchising visionary, a developer of several franchise concepts, and the former U.S. franchise manager for ExxonMobil's On the Run convenience store franchise. Ben has a broad range of franchise experience, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with him today. But before we head into the meat of the show, let me tell you about my experience last week at the Franchise Relations Boot Camp that I attended in Denver. Oh, no, actually, I attended in Dallas and will be attending next week in Denver. The boot camp is the vision of Greg Nathan and Greg Nathan's company, the Franchise Relationships Institute. Of course, that was founded by Greg back in 1989 to help franchisors and franchisees create profitable partnerships. And for the past 23 years, the Relationships Institute has served the global franchise community by conducting research into the psychology of successful franchising, running educational programs for franchise executives, such as the boot camp, and developing franchise management tools and publications. I'll tell you, if you have yet to attend one of these franchise relationships, relations boot camps, make some reservations right now. Go online, go to franchiserelationships.com or go through Speak Franchise. That's Katrina Mitchell's company. She's one of the promoters and organizers of the event. And get on a plane and get to Denver for next week. I'll tell you, as many times as I've seen Greg speak, is the first time I actually sat end-to-end in the boot camp for two solid days. There was a host of franchisors there, a lot of operations people and field consultants, and it really, really, really was a great event. And if you can't find the link to it, just go to my Facebook page, Paul Segretto, and you will see a link on there as well. So really a fabulous event, and I highly recommend making the investment into this. And as you know, Joe Caruso is the co-producer of Franchise Today, and as I always say, he's done a remarkable job producing our great show, and I can never thank him enough. He's responsible for topic and guest selection and writing each show, and without him, I would just be a pretty face best suited for radio. And Joe, as always, thank you, and I'm excited to have you here live on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure, Paul, and it's been a great collaboration working on the Franchise Today show, and I go to a lot of franchising events, and people know the show, and they really know Paul, and then they ask, what do you do? And I say, I'm just a small part of the show, and I'm the little cog, and Paul's the big cog in the wheel for this. But it's a great endeavor, and bringing relevant content to the franchise industry, franchisors, franchise staff, franchise executives. It's a wonderful continuing to be involved with, and I appreciate it.
Well, as you aptly mentioned, you know, COGS, you know, we are like two gears that are meshing together, and certainly for the people that don't see us behind the scenes, which of course is everybody, through the show, even when Joe's not online, I'm sitting here with two or three computer screens, and based on the conversation and discussion that's going on, Joe, you know, provides some additional questions or might take a different direction than based on the conversation or based on a question that might be coming in from our listening audience. And that happens a lot on Twitter and Facebook, as well as directly into Block Talk Radio. Although we are not a show where we have a bunch of callers coming in, just because of the number of listeners, it would be absolutely impossible, and I think we would actually have to move to a studio and start charging advertising and everything that went along with producing a radio show. And this is a great way of being able to give back to the franchise community and talk about franchise best practices. And speaking about best practices, Joe, last week's show was unbelievably informative. John Gordon was a great guest. I learned a lot. You know, my experience is more on the non-food service side, so I was really intent on listening last week. And I know you were excited to have him as a guest. What are some of your thoughts about last week's show?
Well, I think John does yeoman's work in terms of analyzing franchise unit economics at the unit level, franchisees, businesses, and at the macro level, the franchisor's business. And he's very insightful, and he's really nonpartisan in his thinking. It's really all about the numbers. And, you know, and this is a guy that, you know, started at the unit level himself. I mean, he's worked in restaurants. He's worked for franchisors, and he really learned this stuff from the ground up. So I think he gave some great information to franchisors, and I think most importantly, you know, he really advised franchisors, make sure that your franchisees can make money. The unit economics have to work for the franchisee. If they don't, you really don't have much of a franchise system, and you're probably going to have a challenge in growing.
Well, what a novel idea to make money. That's what we're all in it for. And he was very, very, very good at explaining a lot of different things about restaurants and unit economics. And like I said, I learned a lot. And, you know, I just mentioned about, you know, you scheduling the topics and choosing the guests, and you've done a great job. And it looks like today you have another exciting guest for Franchise Today in Ben Letalian. And in addition to what I've already said about Ben, he's the founder and principal of Franchise Well LLC, a consulting practice dedicated to the improvement and enhancement of franchising. He's invested over two decades in the franchise community with a broad range of key management and franchise building experience. His specific strengths are in strategic planning, organizational development, concept management, and franchise system growth. He's developed and implemented strategic plans for a very diverse group of companies, including a major oil company, quick service concepts, including a sandwich and catering franchise, and a national franchisor of food court cafes. And under his direction and management, he forged significant expansion in the United States and abroad, as well as increasing brand awareness and improving profitability. And I'm happy to introduce Ben Letalian. Welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, we're certainly pleased to have you here today. And I know Joe introduced me to you online, of course, as you were a presenter at the recent Capital Area Franchise Association, of which Joe is the president of CAFA. And I saw the PowerPoint presentation, and I was very impressed and intrigued. And Joe and I had a couple of conversations, and thus you're on Franchise Today, and we're looking forward to move this along. I was really intrigued by the first screen of the presentation, the quote from Brian Tracy: "Those people who develop the ability to continuously acquire new and better forms of knowledge that they can apply to their work and to their lives will be the movers and shakers in our society for the indefinite future." What made you put that as your opening slide?
Well, as I've spent the last 5 years as the director and instructor of the Georgetown Franchise Management Certificate Program, I've had the pleasure of interacting with franchisors, literally dozens, if not hundreds, from around the country and globally. And during this six-day intensive program that covers really the entire spectrum of franchising, it's really become a tremendous learning laboratory in the field about what's going on out there, both from a best practice standpoint and from a challenge standpoint. Obviously, we're in a very dynamic market, and those market forces are causing franchisors to truly re-examine their strategies. And in that process, one of the areas that is coming up continually is knowledge management. And it's a personal passion of mine. When I visit with franchisors who are looking for strategies to support their organizations longer term, and, you know, as we'll no doubt talk about throughout this show, the research is pretty clear that the majority of companies do not invest heavily in managing their knowledge. And as a matter of fact, the research indicates that the majority of companies are not passionate about keeping knowledge that's being created within their organizations from escaping. So this whole area of knowledge management is not only captivating, but critically important to the competitive advantage that many of our franchisors are looking for. And if you think about, you know, Michael Porter and, you know, the competitive forces market model that he puts forth, this concept of knowledge management, truly managing the knowledge that's being created by your organization, is a critical component of your ability to be competitive in the future. And I think in the franchise sector specifically, it is a tremendous area of opportunity. And so I put it right at the front of this, you know, future of franchise presentation that I do, because I think it overrides all of these. We're going to talk about, you know, the four pillars, I think, that will really underpin the franchise of the future if they want to be relevant. And it has to do with some basic tenets, but some very interesting concepts within those, one being human resources, two being technology, three being marketing, and four being customers. And, of course, no one is surprised to hear those four headings, but I think there may be some surprise as we look at the relevant research that underpin those. And this one that overrides all of those is, are you developing systems and process and culture to not let the knowledge being created by your network to escape?
That is extremely interesting. Personally, I'd never heard the term knowledge management, but it really makes a lot of sense, especially, you know, from a franchising perspective. You know, Joe, you had the distinct pleasure of listening to Ben at the CAFA meeting. What intrigued you about the presentation about Ben to bring him on the show and as this relates to franchise best practices?
Well, you know, I'm sitting at the CAFA meeting, and it was a terrific presentation, and we had one of the largest CAFA attendances ever for Ben. And I think that was a testament to his reputation in the industry, and people are interested in what he has to say, and they believe it to be important. What I heard was that franchisors don't use information that's available to them industry-wide, and they do a poor job of capturing the institutional memory or creating an institutional memory within their own organizations, which causes them to be doomed to repeat past mistakes. And he didn't quite say it that way, but that's kind of what I distilled from what he was talking about. And I think where he really gained the attention, and I don't want to get ahead of today's show outline, but having people thrive, and that's how that word got into the title of today's show, because I think few people in business think about having thriving organizations or thriving businesses. It's not something that I think most people, including me, get up every morning thinking about, how am I going to thrive today? And I think that message was so strong, and that was the reason that I wanted Ben to be our guest today.
Well, certainly it's a great topic. The show title, The Franchise of the Future, It Pays to Thrive, is very compelling. And I know that's going to be a big reason that's going to attract some attention right off the bat, and of course along with the historical success of the show. Now, Ben, the franchise of the future, you have four components to it, as you said: human resources, technology, marketing, and customers. Let's talk a bit about human resources.
Excellent. So when I gave this presentation, I put up a slide about the Jetsons, you know, of the Jetsons family, and specifically, you know, Rosie, the maid robot, and I asked the question, what happened? You know, this was the picture that we kind of grew up with of the future, and you know, here we are, you know, decades later, and the Jetsons is still a relevant cartoon because it's yet to come to fruition. And using that as a backdrop, I really like to talk to organizations about how they approach human resources. The reality is it's a difficult task. And the reason it's difficult is because we as people are complex, that's number one. Number two, we're not static. We are changing, our environment's changing, and so we're in this very tumultuous, dynamic state of change. And franchisors are trying to manage a brand and a system given that backdrop. And so what I did and what I've been doing is I have been working on my doctorate and with a focus on a particular aspect of franchising and looking at a lot of the research. On the human resource side, 67% of employees do not enjoy their work. You know, and I don't know that there's a parallel study, I haven't found it, been done on how many franchisees enjoy their relationship with their franchisor or the actual business that they're in. But just thinking about it from the human resource standpoint for a moment, I mean, this right now the research is telling us that we have the lowest job satisfaction levels in 20 years. And it also suggests that workers are happiest when they're in helping positions, helping professions, and creative positions. I mean, it's probably no surprise based on that that the service side of franchising is expanding dramatically, where people are in helping positions. Look at what's happened in home care and in the medical, you know, aspects in the franchise sector. The research also suggests that workers over 50 tend to be more satisfied regardless of the type of work. So what this is saying is, who are our populations that we're targeting for our franchise, and what can we know about them that can help us both internally with the people that we're hiring, but externally with the franchisees we're seeking? And there's some really good research out there that I think could be valuable to franchisors. The reality is, you know, people want to move towards satisfaction. It's an inherent trait, right, whether it's in the relationship with the franchisor or with their job. And some of the research that I think is the most compelling with this regard, and as Joe brought up, is the concept of thriving. And the study that was done gave us some really powerful information. First, that a climate of trust and respect is critical. People have to believe that they're worthy and they're valued. And so franchisors would do well to dwell on this within their relationship, both internally with employees, but also I think there's an application or a corollary to their franchisees. And the research also suggested two key ingredients to developing this thriving environment. One is there has to be a sense of vitality, which I don't know from your experience with franchises, but having spoken at franchise conferences, having been in franchising for over two decades, I could probably write a list of the franchise systems that have a sense of vitality and certainly the ones that don't. That positive feeling of energy that is within the organization is a critical element. The second that was highlighted as a key ingredient is a sense of learning. And this is where I think the best opportunity is for many franchisors to be relevant in the future, is how do the participants, employees, based on the study, but extrapolating now to franchisees, how can they acquire and apply knowledge to improve their skills? And so this is an environment that the researchers are suggesting needs to be created if you want thriving to take place. And so I'll stop there and see if you have any questions or comments, but that, you know, I appreciate Joe picking up on this because I think it's critically important for franchise systems to focus on the environment that's being created, especially when you're in a tumultuous economic time that we're all facing.
Sure, you know, and it's real interesting having you on today with me coming out of this franchise relations boot camp. And as you said, you know, employees, and of course relating today also to franchisees about having, you know, a positive feeling of energy available and of course acquiring and applying, you know, knowledge and skills and having a sense of learning, because that was a lot of the what was causing the energy level really to go up at the boot camp as the environment, if you would. The environment created it. And I guess my question, and as you know, you have in your presentation specifically there, you know, how do you create that environment? I mean, because Joe and I talk a lot about, you know, franchise best practices, and we talk about culture, and we talk about the environment, and the environment, of course, in a franchise organization expands or extends well beyond, you know, the franchise corporate offices and well beyond each individual location. It's an environment throughout the system. So, you know, how do you create this environment?
Excellent. There's two things that you want to keep in mind, you know, based on the research. One is focusing on the elimination of stress. If you go back to kind of the content philosophy of motivation, you know, from Sigmund Freud through, you know, Maslow and whatnot, the hierarchy, and you know, basically that the lower level needs, you want to eliminate, they can create stress, job insecurity, unsafe work conditions, work overload, probably the one that's the most relevant for our discussion today, create stress, okay? And unless you deliberately are minimizing the impact of that, it's going to have it's going to work against your ability to create a thriving environment. But now going beyond that, so what are the forward-thinking things that we can do? There's three things that came out of the study. One is there needs to be a task focus. People want to become proficient at something. And giving them clear, specific, and challenging goals, more of the process philosophy of motivation, is one of the key elements to creating thriving. We don't want to have an organization made up of expert generalists. And it seems like there's been a movement from an HR perspective to cross-train everybody to do everything. And that is going to create the opposite result of a thriving environment. Second is exploration opportunities. We are creative people. We're born that way. It's an inherent trait that we all possess. But I tell you from my experience that many organizations do everything they possibly can to beat that creativeness into submission through bureaucracy and other, you know, well-meaning or maybe even well-intended programs and within organizations. But if you want thriving within your people, within your franchise system, you have got to create exploration opportunities. You need to create environments for ideation, having idea sessions, free-flowing, open forums. The whole concept of innovation comes out of tapping into the creativeness that we each have. But if we don't create the environment to stir that creative nature, we won't have innovative outcomes. The third is promoting social support. And one of the interesting things that correlates to this concept of thriving and this promoting social support, and there's lots of good research on it, is the concept of teams. Cross-functional teams, self-managed teams, virtual teams. There's a lot of good research to suggest that you can enhance these other areas, this task focus, the exploration opportunities, and the social support through deliberately developing teams to address certain aspects of the work. So these three, according to the researchers, creates an engine of thriving, but you also, again, have to keep in mind that we have to be knowledgeable or cognizant of the elements that create stress in that environment as well and work to minimize those. Now, the payoff is tremendous. I mean, the research is clear. Increased employee longevity, reduced malfeasance, less need for supervision, enhanced customer satisfaction. I mean, who knew if your employees are thriving that they interact better with your customers? Novel, right? And reduced operating costs. So I believe that the franchise of the future will foster an environment where employees and franchisees can thrive.
You know, you mentioned about a stress-free environment. I know Joe and I talk about this often and said, you know, God, if we just kept the TV and kept CNN and CNBC and Fox and everything off the air for about 30 or 45 days, I think we could have a lot more of a positive environment, without a doubt. The next part, the next component in the franchise of the future is something that is very close to home for me, and that's technology. And if you would, you know, give us a snapshot of how technology fits into the equation.
Yeah, it's pretty compelling. We're overwhelmed with information. It's coming at us literally nonstop, not only in every waking hour, but, even while we're sleeping, our minds are churning through how to digest, sort, and make sense of all the information that we're exposed to. So lest we think it's just when we show up at the office and we get home, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And so where I try to focus when I'm working with franchisors and in the Georgetown program, we talk about technology as the new utility of franchising. It's not a department. It's not a silo. It's not a piece of your franchise organization. It's the utility, like the power company. You know, the power company, we take it for granted. You flip the switch, the light comes on. But if you really thought through everything that it took for that to happen seamlessly and effortlessly and meeting your needs so perfectly, it's very powerful. And I try to work with the franchisors in my program to begin to think about technology as enabling, that it crosses over everything in the organization, that it's really not enough to relegate it to a department. And so it must be taken deeper into the organization. It must be moving our employees across the line to engage and embrace the technologies that are necessary that will help us reach more customers, help us be more effective. It's a very, very powerful component. But as I mentioned at the CAFA meeting, that many of the franchisors I interact with have a healthy respect for technology because of investments they've made and unfortunately not seeing a return. And so is that going to stop us from going down this path? I hope not. But what I hope will happen is we'll have a little bit of a paradigm shift here and stop thinking about buying technology and thinking about it as a utility and how it can literally underpin the entire organization and even lead us into a better future. And again, as we started this conversation with, you know, it really in my mind boils down to, or said another way, at the tip of the spear is managing the knowledge that you're creating. And the research on this is really quite staggering, that when you look at the continuum of technology utilized by business, managing knowledge is, I'm looking at a chart right now, it's at about 12 or 13% of companies have a system, have developed a knowledge management system. And as you, Paul, have indicated, you know, you hadn't heard of that before and you've been in franchising a long time. I think that's indicative of how big a gap we have here and where franchisors would do well to focus in this area.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to systems, you know, a lot of people cringe. They understand. There's a lot of lip service about it. And when it comes to technology, even something of the simpler variety of social media technology, too often they do look at it as an expense and are looking for ROI and not looking for not looking at, as you said, as a utility, as part of the you know, requirement of moving forward as a sustainable business. And I know Joe has some thoughts on that.
Well, I think that Ben is right that technology and the knowledge that's within that IT group, the technology within a company, should be viewed more as a utility because it really transcends the organization. It's something that links the disparate parts of the organization together. And I think the reluctance by business people, not just franchisors, to link their people together, it seems easier to keep them in silos. And it seems easier to not share a problem to find a solution for fear that the problem will unsettle or scare people. I think people that are really employees and franchisees that are really engaged in the brand and in the company and the organization, if you have nurtured a culture that embraces finding solutions, they're not going to be afraid of the problems. In fact, they're going to value you, that you trust them enough to share a problem and ask them what they think, and getting these cross-functional groups together to come up with a problem. I mean, excuse me, come up with a solution to a problem.
Right, I agree. And I think that what I've seen from the franchisors that have come through the program and through my own experiences through consulting with the organizations and whatnot, there's a tremendous demand by franchisees to have a franchisor capturing, effectively mining, effectively analyzing, and effectively sharing the information, the knowledge that's being created within the organization and gleaned outside the organization and brought in relevant research, regulatory activities, new technologies. This whole foundation, if you will, this whole utility of technology in support of managing the knowledge that's being created. I can't stress this enough. I truly believe that unless an organization creates a passion for not allowing knowledge that it is creating to slip through its hands, they will lose relevance going forward and fall perilously behind. And I was on the phone this morning with the founder of a very large organization based out of New York talking about this very issue. And he said, "Ben, what's the first step?" And I said, "It's cultural. You have to move your culture towards not only a passion, but an expectation that, you know, we are going to lose relevance if we allow the knowledge that's being created by every transaction, every interaction, if we don't capture that and use it judiciously, somebody else will. And it will be a defining factor in the success of companies in the future."
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind, and definitely the franchise of the future we'll have to manage and effectively manage knowledge through advanced technology. I just couldn't even imagine operating in any sense today without embracing technology. And, you know, too often than not, we know people like to put their head in the sand, think that some of the technology that's out there is unnecessary. Of course, these are the same naysayers that said a computer was unnecessary some years back, and QuickBooks was unnecessary some years back, and they liked filling out the ledger sheets on their green ledger sheets. So, absolutely, I definitely agree. I think this is a marvelous topic, really eye-opening. And now, of course, anxious to hear what you have to say about the third component, marketing, which, of course, is something that I'm also passionate about.
Certainly, and this is, again, another area that I've gleaned a lot of information over the last several years. There's a lot of research in this area, and so what I'm going to try to bring out is what I think is the interesting component of some of the relevant aspects that I see. You know, I'll start off with a quote by Kevin Coyne from McKinsey. You know, an integrated set of actions designed to help companies gain sustainable advantage over competitors. And I'd like to read that again, because I just don't think, from my perspective, from my purview, that this is the approach many franchisors are taking with what they call their marketing strategy. An integrated set of actions designed to help companies gain sustainable advantage over competitors. If you go to the SBA, and for years, you know, what was the number one reason businesses fail? Lack of working capital. What's today, according to the SBA, number one reasons small business fail? It's not financial. Failure to effectively market the business. This is tremendously important. You know, there's no one thing that's going to sustain your business. Whatever you've been doing successfully, you know, in a marketing standpoint, you're obviously going to keep doing. But the reality is, that's not what we're finding. What we're doing is not giving us the same results. We're not getting, you know, the same bang for our buck, if you will, with the strategies we're deploying on a marketing perspective in two fronts on the franchise side, in identifying and attracting and contracting with the best candidates in the market, and on the other side, directly with customer acquisition and retention. So from a best practice standpoint, I think that the focus has to shift to the brand. Unfortunately, most of the research on brand building has been focused on large organizations. And so there's a real gap in the market out there from the standpoint of good, relevant research on the small to medium-sized business and the value of focusing on brand. This comes juxtaposed to the relevance of local that now exists because of technology, social media. The little store on the corner now becomes relevant in a much larger space. Their brand locally has much more value because of the enabled technology platforms that we all exist in today, the virtual communities we exist in today. And yet we're not going through much of a shift that I can see in our small to medium-sized organizations around this brand focus. And I think it could have tremendous impact. There's two or three things to keep in mind in this regard. One is franchisors are going to have to not only acknowledge but integrate more effectively their local image. You know, franchisors have been focused on their corporate brand. We build our brand and the tide rises and all the boats in the harbor rise, right? You could be a big boat or a little boat, and if the franchisor elevates the brand, the tide rises. And that is very important, and it is a very fundamental approach by franchisors. But we've got to now integrate into that our local image, the power of that local image, the leverage that the local franchisee represents to elevate our brand is at a level never seen before, because of the enabling technology that's out there. So I think that as franchisors, again, there's not a lot of research to underpin this. There's a lot on the bigger companies. We're having to extrapolate some of that. But we've got to now integrate into our strategies the effects of our local franchisees like never before. In my experience in franchising, we find a franchisee, we sell them a franchise, they go into the market, and you know, we focus on the brand globally, the brand nationally, the brand value overall. More and more, the franchisor of the future is going to have to get that focus down to the lowest level in the franchise, and then across that network, leverage up the brand value.
Absolutely. I could not even come close to agreeing with you more. I definitely do. You know, today's consumer, as you mentioned, you know, there's two areas of driving customers and for a franchise, actually customers and franchisees for a franchise. There's the consumer marketing side, and then of course there's the franchise lead generation side. But you know, to me, today's consumer and you know, potential franchisee alike are certainly have changed in mindset, changed in skills. They're more sophisticated, they're more educated. They're certainly more technologically advanced than ever before. So their expectations are such that if they're using technology, certainly the franchisor or the franchise brand they're looking at, their expectations would be that they are in tune with technology and embracing it as well. In addition to that, consumers and investors alike are certainly more diligent. I mean, they can be. There's so much information online. They're certainly more cautious, and there's a level of anxiety there as well because of what's going on in the economic uncertainty around us. And all that being said, there still provides an opportunity to capitalize on business, both from a local level as well as from a national brand level. And I agree that franchisees down at the local level are really the foundation. I know I talk to many franchise groups about that as well, that franchisees have to create the brand, create the image at the local market. We've had we've even had some fun with this and put together a marketing program for that purpose called Goya, which is get off your ass. I think I could say that on the air. Nobody's ever told me I couldn't. But you know, it's that compelling feeling that you're more than just somebody standing behind the counter. And in today's world, as I believe the sales process, whether it be in a consumer choosing a business to do business with, going to a restaurant to eat at, or a candidate looking to buy a franchise, certainly that sales process has changed. It's no longer an A to Z proposition that follows a very distinct, formal, regimented order, you know, from a franchise candidate standpoint of seeing an ad in Entrepreneur Magazine, calling up the company, saying they're interested, getting a four-color brochure, the franchise salesperson waiting 3 days, knowing that he then will call him up and take him through the process A to Z. Too often than not, franchise candidates are already at the letter P or Q or M by the time they contact the company because there's so much information they can disseminate online. And from a consumer standpoint, obviously the same is true. There's so many opportunities to check a restaurant's reputation, whether it be through the customer relations site like Yelp, or be able to interact with friends on Facebook and get some input, or actually, as I say, virtually stand behind the local business on their Facebook page and see how they actually interact with their customers on Facebook. That's kind of that virtual standing next to. So, I mean, it really is a new world. And marketing must be done to elevate the brand in the local market, as you said. And there definitely needs to be a compelling call to action. And businesses today do need to offer an engaging proposition. And as you say, the franchise of the future must elevate its brand by rising above the ordinary. And, of course, we couldn't do that, and I know Joe knows this all too well, you couldn't do this, Joe, right, without customers.
Well, customers are important. they're very important. And I got to tell you, the old way of doing business, the command and control structure, the command and control mentality that may have worked in the past does not work any longer because of the wealth of information that is a keystroke away from the consumers, from prospective franchisees. They will find out the information. And if you are superficial, if you are inauthentic, if you talk the talk but don't walk the walk, you will be discovered and you will be penalized in this competitive environment because people want to do business with people they trust, they have confidence in, and the only way to do that is by being out there using technology, using knowledge, and marketing to those marketing things that people are interested in, marketing messages that say what you're about, and then you deliver.
You know, Ben, the fourth component of your franchise of the future is customer. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the customer of the future?
Certainly. And as a bridge that really interlocks these two, let me share an illustration with you. We've probably all heard about corporate social responsibility, and there's actually a fair bit of research that's been done, that's being done, about the effectiveness, the impact of this, the tax strategies, and franchisors would do well to consider some of this research, which is pretty compelling relative to the impact it's having in two fields, and that's what we're talking about here, customers, and in our ability to elevate our brand. So as a bridge, let me just share an example. I'm working with an entrepreneur who has a chain of stores, and we've just finished the federal disclosure document, the FDD, and are launching a franchise. It's called ProFeed Pet Nutrition Centers. And this is really an interesting concept. But to illustrate this point, one of the things that we did in architecting this franchise was to create a foundation. So the franchisor showing leadership in this area, which I think is one of the missing links out there, is franchisees want franchisors to show leadership in this area, was to create a foundation so that the local franchisee who is going to be, you know, beset upon by every pet-related group or affiliation or association in their local market now can put that through the foundation. So here's how it works. It's pretty fascinating, and it's part of this ideation process that franchisors need to go through to really reinvent themselves and their offer. But the franchisees will all contribute 1% of their gross sales to the foundation. Each franchisee will also have the opportunity to submit grant requests for $500 or more to the foundation for local charities to the full extent of their donation, to the full extent of their contribution. So if they put in 1%, they can literally request and get grants to that full amount back to their local community. It does a couple of things. One, it's going to create a very large, well-heeled, and very well-known foundation over time because of the network effects of building your business through franchise. Two, it makes it structured and systematic for the franchisee to handle in the local market. And so when you think about this, it plays into a couple of things when we think about customers. Customers want to know what your organization believes in. What do you stand for? And one way to do that is to allow each franchisee to represent that locally, which the vast majority of franchisors do. Very few franchisors have a Ronald McDonald House. Very few franchisors have leveraged their network in support of a social issue. If you think about some of the largest franchisors in the world, if they were able to generate a dollar a day from every location and focus that on one specific issue, it would be tremendously powerful. But it's not happening in the franchise sector. Not sure why. It's a missed opportunity. And I think the customers of the future, according to the research that's being done, are looking for it, and they're making purchase decisions because of it. And who are these customers? I mean, if you haven't done much research on Gen Y, definitely some place to begin your thoughts. This is a huge group moving through time, and they are, in most of our cases, the future customers that we're looking to support our business as we move in the future. But if we don't know who they are, we don't know what they're like, we don't know what their interests are, it's going to be very difficult to intercept them in the future. And so I think that's one of the critical things that we have to, as franchise organizations, look at. Who do we want? Who's going to be buying our products and services in the future, and are we creating a strategy to intercept them? I remember 20 years ago or more reading Ken Dykewall's book on the age wave, and he was talking about, he chronicled, if you will, the movement of baby boomers through time, where we went from station wagons to SUVs because I didn't want a station wagon like my parents had. Well, who's chronicling the Gen Y and tracking their movements? I'll tell you who is: insurance companies. I mean, you can go to MetLife right now and pull a report on America's Gen Y, 6 pages of incredible knowledge at your fingertips to begin to infiltrate our organizations and our cultures about intercepting the customers of the future. If that's not your customer, who is your customer? And get data and figure out how to intercept them. That's the critical thing. Now, you're not going to do it just because you've got a marketing strategy. You've got to integrate your organization with your customer of the future, if you will. So if your customer is a Gen Y, that's who you want to intercept. That's who is going to underpin your success in the future. But you don't have any Gen Y working for you, you're going to miss it. You're not going to see it. It's not going to be as relevant. And this goes into some research on diversity that is really powerful. The more diverse our organizations are, the better the outcomes. And it's simple. It's simple psychology. We all come from different environments. We see things differently. You put 5 people in a room that are homogenous, they're going to come up with very one-dimensional results. You put 5 people mm-hmm. from totally different backgrounds, age groups, religions, etc., they will come out with a very robust, dynamic, maybe even brilliant solution to a problem. Why? Because what I miss, what are called scotomas or blind spots that I just don't see because of my background, my upbringing, my orientation, that person sitting across from me, they see that. And therefore, we capture what's missing in our blind spots. So diversity is an incredibly important role in understanding and intercepting these consumers of the future.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I like to make a point about Gen Y, because even though they may be the customers of the future, they are probably one of the strongest groups of influencers on today's customers, whether it be the parents or relatives or you know, you think about it, with everything being so technologically advanced to some of the older people that are out there, they are relying on their, you know, their kids to do some of the research for them. And they're the ones that are absolutely influencing a lot of the buying decision today. So even though they're not today's customers, they're certainly influencing buying decisions.
And not just the buying decisions. I mean, they're influencing society. When they go out mm-hmm. to look for work, the research is crystal clear. They will take less money to work for a company that believes in something, and not just believes in it by putting a ribbon on their website, but that they have planned giving, that there's engagement at the employee level, and it's systematic. It's through the it, it, it It is integrated throughout the entire organization. It's not a department we created called CSR to give some money to, you know, a cause. But it is part of the culture. It is part of who we are. And Gen Y are telling us, and they're shaping our HR community right now as we speak, by choosing to work for companies that are more aligned with their interests. And that doesn't necessarily represent many of the franchise companies that I've interacted with who are reticent to change a very pyramid, hierarchical, organizational structure that is absolutely unattractive to Gen Y.
It's really an interesting time that we're in. And speaking about time, we've got about 4.5 minutes left. And if you would, Ben, in the next couple of minutes, if you could summarize the franchise of the future for our listeners.
Well, first of all, let me say how appreciative I am for the opportunity to be on your show. I appreciate the service that you provide to the franchise community in advancing knowledge and hopefully in stimulating positive thoughts out there around how we can be more effective in this franchise community. The franchise of the future that I espouse is based on very relevant research that is out there, that exists, but all too often is not accessed by the management of organizations, even in franchising. So looking at that relevant research, and then with that, all of these interactions with franchisors that have come through the program that I've consulted with, that I've interacted with, has made a very rich environment for providing this information. And the four components that I think are relevant to franchisors who want to be relevant in the future is that they are going to create a diverse approach to engaging customers. A diverse approach to engaging customers. What do you stand for? What do you believe? Is it integrated? And are you attracting a diverse group of people in your organization so that your scotomas are minimized? The franchisor of the future is going to elevate its brand by rising above the ordinary. The markets change, the dynamics are changed, and if franchisors do not drive their brand message down to the lowest level in the organization, they will be ordinary, and ordinary may not survive. The franchise of the future will manage knowledge through advanced technology, thinking of it in terms of a utility that underpins and runs through every facet of the organization. We don't need any more IT departments. We need technology that enables us to manage the knowledge that we're creating. And we need to foster an environment where not only employees, but franchisees can thrive. The research is clear. We have the tools. We can create the environment for thriving. The payoff, unbelievable, and yet untapped.
Very well said. Ben, I really, really appreciate you being on today's show. So everyone knows, today's segment of Franchise Today will be available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow, probably be about 10 or 15 minutes after the show ends. Joe, again, I thank you for all that you do, and I really appreciate you being on live with us today.
My pleasure, and the subject matter today is why we do the Franchise Today show. These are tools that franchisors can use now. And I think these are elegant solutions to today's business problems. And if you want to be ordinary, it's to your own detriment. If you want to be extraordinary, you'll take what you heard on this show and you'll put it into work in within your organization.
Absolutely. And next week will be an encore presentation of Franchise Today, as I again will be in Denver for Greg Nathan's Profitable Partnerships Franchise Relations Bootcamp. I hope to see you there, give some serious thought, get on a plane, get out to Denver, and enjoy the cool weather. Until then, I'm Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great thing called franchising. Franchise Today is out.